Hey, before we talk about election-related stuff, and I'm going to be a broken record on that. We got to talk about that all the time. Just kind of as a tie-in to our last conversation, fights against pipelines and, carbon dioxide-related projects are not just in the U.S. either. Here's one I just learned about in Africa. They want to build a cross-continental pipeline, an oil pipeline, from Uganda to Tanzania. It's a $5.6 million project. It's a French company. TotalEnergies is behind it. Yay, France! Still messing up Africa. Apparently, doing it with the cooperation of the English as well. So, Ugandan and Tanzanian farmers and a bunch of advocacy groups have staged protests, court challenges. They're arguing that this, what, about a 1,000-mile-long pipeline threatens fresh water, uproots agricultural communities, and accelerates climate risks. So we'll see. The one lawsuit is seeking to use Uganda's climate law to argue against the pipeline. I did not know Uganda had a climate law. Good for them. Maybe we should learn from them. Related to that, in this country, we've talked before about how the Colorado River is in big trouble out west. So we got our own water problems here in the Midwest with the Ogallala Aquifer. The Ogallala Aquifer is about 174 square miles across. It covers eight states. Now, the biggest one is Nebraska. It's pretty much all in Nebraska, but South Dakota, all the way down to Texas. And it provides about 30% of all the groundwater used for U.S. irrigation. Huge. But, the thing about aquifers is they replenish very slowly, and we've been using the water pretty quickly. So water levels have plunged by 262 feet, leaving parts of the underground reservoir completely depleted and threatening this area's farming and rural communities. So, it's not going to get any better unless we change our habits. We'll see if that happens. Yeah, and I know I can say a lot more about that, and we will. But I got to turn to the midterm elections. This is complicated, and I'm sorry to have to dump on you, but it's important to know and to try to understand such matters. This is from an opinion piece in the New York Times by Jeffrey Toobin, and it focuses on the efforts of one member of Congress, the Democrat from upstate New York, a guy named Joe Morrell, who's been trying to make sure that all the bases get covered in terms of protecting our election integrity. So I'm going to read you a little bit from this story about him. So the process for installing a new House of Representatives begins when states certify the results of each of the 435 House races. And again, the rules vary by state, but most require officials to certify by late November, early December, who won the election. So in recent years, local officials who've been aligned with Trump have often used false claims of fraud or non-citizens voting as a justification to refuse to certify the election results. And again, this is not just from the past. This is not just from 2020, but since 2020, there are about 30 local officials in Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, Michigan, New Mexico, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania who have refused to certify election results. And oftentimes their motivation was to delay or deny Democratic victories. So if there are, now Morrell postulates that if there are similar delays and refusals after November 3rd, that's the date of the election this fall, Morrell feels that Democrats or people, organizations that value election integrity, ought to sue. In past years, Democrats have had success in winning court rulings that force local officials to certify results. Yeah, and they'll probably win these kinds of cases again. No doubt there'll be delays and appeals and things like that, but. Yeah, one disaster scenario that Mr. Morrell points to is this. After results show Democrats winning a majority in the U.S. House, the president declares that the election is full of fraud and the winners don't need to be certified. Trump could then demand that Speaker Mike Johnson fire the current House clerk, as he's a guy named McCumber, who is reasonably nonpartisan, Republican, but, you know, not unfair, not biased, not inclined to shenanigans. So Mr. Johnson is able to do that. The Speaker can do that. And then, under the procedures of the U.S. House, Johnson could then install a friendly successor, one that is a Trump ally, one that will do whatever Trump tells Johnson to tell the clerk to do. And so at President Trump's instigation, they would produce a roll of new House members that included Republicans in races the Democrats believed they had won. So this is interesting. Of all the tricks and things that Republicans are trying to make sure they win the election this fall, gerrymandering being the most prominent, this is the one I've seen the least attention given to, and it's intriguing to me. So Representative Morrell plans to keep things as simple as possible. He says, get the certificates of who won the election in hand, you know, from the states and press, and press his colleagues in both parties to abide by those results. So get Republicans to agree that, yeah, we will abide by those results. I don't know whether there's enough backbone left in the Republican Party to do that. Clearly, we saw some backbone, and some of that was defeated. Thomas Massie most prominently comes to mind. You know, Trump, when he doesn't like you, if you're a Republican, if you're not doing what he wants, he will find a person to challenge you, endorse that person, pump a lot of money into their campaign, and the way things have been going, they've been winning. So good for Morrell for reaching across the aisle. Whether that's possible or not, I don't know. Continuing though, let's see, once the certificate of election comes into the House clerk, the clerk is bound under law and under the courts to put those people in the roll. Morrell is actually optimistic about how this is going to turn out. He says, quote, the American people, I think, are not going to just sit by while an election which has given a Democratic majority of the House is taken away by some subterfuge that involves a removal of the sitting clerk and an acting clerk put in his place who happens to be an election denier. Well, I appreciate his optimism, and I think he's right. The American people are not going to tolerate it. But will there be enough Republicans in the U.S. House to stand up to Trump? Because there's no doubt Trump is going to do everything he can to make sure that the House remains Republican, that the U.S. Senate remain Republican, because he needs that to keep his agenda of consolidating power in the administration moving forward. He's done a bunch of things without Congress, but if you had a Democratic Congress, then they might put some roadblock. Again, I'm not a huge fan of the Democratic Party, folks. I see a party that's really out of touch, that is become more focused on money and less focused on bread and butter issues. A party that has totally abandoned rural Iowa, rural America, rather. A party that, you know, has paid less attention to the concerns of working people, which is why you see more and more union members voting Republican. I think we're beginning to see that change. And maybe that change is profound enough right now that people will notice. Combine that with the fact that people are more and more dissatisfied with where Trump is leading this country, whether into a war with Iran, whether approving these carbon dioxide projects we talked about earlier, the tariffs. There's so many ways in which people are saying, you know, this is not what we voted for. So, yeah, I do agree with Morrell, with Representative Morrell, that the American people are going to put up with this, but I don't know if even a supermajority of the public can prevent the U.S. House from doing what Trump wants. You know, and so I see Democrats winning seats and not getting seated in the U.S. House. I see Republicans who might have lost those races being seated instead. This is disturbing. This is deeply disturbing. And I think the fact that we are talking about it is important. And I think what we discussed last week Rick Wilson, the former Republican operative, who says, hey, watch this stuff, pay attention, get on it now. I think his and his key point was this: if elections are close, then they can be stolen. If elections are landslides, and for him, a landslide means 8 percentage points or more, then it's hard to steal it. You know, and I don't know with this tactic that Representative Morrell is bringing to our attention, you know, who knows? Maybe that also is going to be hard to fight. I don't know. But again, I think the key is, talk to Republican voters who may have a connection to a Republican lawmaker and get them to say, hey, if a Democrat wins, will you agree to seat that person? I mean, this has never happened before. This is always just a matter of routine. We saw that routine interrupted in 2020 with a gallows specifically built to hang Mike Pence. I mean, there was really an effort to not allow the election results to be enforced. And I think these people are ready to try to do that again. Anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I think this is good information. Let's keep an eye on it. Let's continue to pay attention and continue to remember that everything we do to kind of speak out about the integrity of our election now is really, really important.